I'd like to invite you to take God's Word and open it up to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and primarily we are going to be looking at verses 11 through 15, but we're also going to be referencing quite a few other scriptures as well. Folks, there is coming a judgment, and that's the title of tonight's lesson, the final judgment, and there is coming a judgment. There's going to come a time when God is going to put that final period on the final sentence of the final paragraph of the final chapter of the final book of history as we know it. Read with me Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And what we're going to read here is God is giving the Apostle John a vision. He's giving the Apostle John a look into the future of what that final judgment will be like. Verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Folks, this is the true divine word of God. One day, there is coming a judgment. Tell you a true story. It was a small rural town. Most small rural towns have a similar character that we're going to talk about just a little bit, called a skeptic. And in this small rural town, which was a little smaller than Centerville, of course, the mainstream preacher there, he was retiring, and a new young preacher was coming in to take his place. And this skeptic, he loved to harass any new preacher that was coming into town. And they threw him, this young preacher, kind of a welcome party one Saturday afternoon. And of course, the skeptic waited till everyone left, and he walked up to that young preacher. And he said, "I'm just going to tell you." He said, "I don't believe in your God. I don't believe in your Jesus. I don't believe in your Bible. I don't believe anything that you teach, and I don't believe anything that you preach." He said, "What you got to say about that?" The young preacher looked him right in the eye. He said, "It is appointed unto man once to die and then face judgment." He said, "I've already told you, I don't believe your Bible. You're not going to argue with me on that." Preacher said, "It is appointed unto man once to die and then to face judgment." He said, "You stupid. You're just stupid. I've already told you. I don't believe anything that you're quoting. How can you sit here and debate that with me?" Young preacher said, "It is written. It is appointed unto man wants to die and then to face judgment." He said, "You are the ignorant preacher. Is that the only scripture you know?" The preacher said, "It is written. It is appointed unto man wants to die and then to face judgment." I said at the beginning, this is a true story. That skeptic went on in life, and he finally did. He finally did. The conviction from the Holy Spirit penetrated his heart. He surrendered his life to Christ. He was born again, was baptized, But what happened, what the funny part of this story is, he was giving his testimony in a Sunday school class one Sunday morning. He said, I was so mad when that young preacher, that's all he would do, would just keep quoting that Hebrew verse. That's all he would say over and over again. And I was so mad, he said, I knew I had to walk this anger off. So he said, I just decided to walk home. And he said, on my way home, I had to cross a bridge. And of course, water was running underneath the bridge. And he said, I am almost certain the frogs down there in the water were saying, judgment, judgment, judgment. Now that is a true story. That is a true story. But folks, everyone that has ever drawn a breath is going to have a date with deity. That is the true word of God. And that's what he says. First of all, tonight, I want us to look at this setting in a little more detail. The setting that John described in verse 11. He says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. Now let that sink in. What a scene. What a beautiful scene. What a setting. You have to get this picture of similar to a courtroom in your mind. Here is this great white throne. The greatness is the power. The white is the purity. And the throne itself, that's the purpose. That's the purpose. That's where we are going to stand someday. The throne. But I want you to look who's sitting on it. And it says, and him who was seated on it. Who is him? Who's him? Him is Jesus. Him is Jesus. Can I give you a scripture, the same scripture that Phil read a while ago? John 5 and verse 22. If you want to turn there with me, you can. If not, I'll read it. John 5 verse 22. And it says, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has instructed all judgment to the Son. And you say, no, Rodney, Jesus is the Savior. But my answer to that is he was. He was. When we come to this day right here, the saving part is going to be over. No longer will Jesus be the Savior. He will be the judge. All through the Bible, it talks of Jesus as the Lamb. Well, right here, he's going to be the Lion. And you're either going to meet him as the Lamb right here, or as the Lion, or you'll meet him as the Savior, or you'll meet him as the Judge. But I promise you this, standing right here, every person is going to meet him. All the ones that have cursed him, all the ones that have mocked him, all the ones that have denied him, all the ones that have turned their back on him, they are going to meet Jesus the Christ. So who is this one seated on the throne? It is Jesus himself. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. I want you to get a full description of just who is sitting on this throne. Revelation chapter 1. And let's look at verse 13. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Now what's this description? Dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. I think of like 20 Niagara Falls. If you can kind of fathom that in your mind. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. That's who's seated on this throne. And it's no wonder that John said, he said, and earth and sky fled from his presence. Anything stable from that point on is gone. Nothing. Nothing stable. That's the setting. So get that in your mind. That, just picture that setting. And the one sitting on the throne. But now I want you to see the summons. I want you to see who is called to stand before this throne. Look in verses 12 and 13 back in Revelation chapter 20. Verses 12 and 13. And it says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're prominence and prestige. I don't care if you're a big shot, if you're a little shot. It's not going to matter on that day. Now, I categorized these next four groups of people. Now, you may have another category that you want to put in, but simply, the ones that are going to be standing before this great white throne are categorized into four categories. Number one, those who hate God, those who hate Christ, they hate the Bible, they hate the preacher, those that say, I will not bow down. I got word for them. They're going to bow. They're going to bow someday. But these are the ones that said, I am not giving up myself for anybody else. I'm not surrendering. They will be there, folks. They will be there. And then the self-righteous will be there. The ones that think they are too good to be damned. The ones that think that they don't need to be saved. The ones that think that just the gospel is for the drug addict. The gospel is for the thief. The gospel is for the murderer. I don't need to be saved. I'm too good. And it's really, really sad. Because what they have done, they have substituted human goodness for being born again. They will be there. The self-righteous. And then the procrastinators. They will be there. These are the sinners. These are the sinners, and they know they're sinners. They're lost. They know they're lost. And they know they need to be saved someday. Someday. Someone wrote this down. I love it. The author was unknown. Said, tomorrow is only on a fool's calendar. Tomorrow is only on a fool's calendar. We don't know what's going to happen a minute from now, much less tomorrow. If you are watching, I don't know if we are live on Facebook and someone is watching this, but my whole point here, this may be your last gospel sermon that you ever hear. We don't know. We don't know. But you have time. You have time right here, right now, to make it right. And then the fourth group, and like I said, there may be another category that you may want to put in there, but the fourth group, I'm categorizing those that have religion, but they don't have Jesus. We're up to our ears with religion in America, but we're way down here for those that have Jesus in their heart. Folks, the devil had just soon send you to hell, sitting right here in a pew, as he had from the gutters. It does not matter to him. And a lot of people want to pull that religion trump card. And they think that religion is going to get them to heaven. And it's not. They talk a good game. They can talk scripture and quote scripture. But when you get down to it, they've never, ever been born again. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? There's two parts of salvation there. You must be born of the water. That's baptism. And born of the Spirit. That's the transformation that takes place. That is the 180 degree turn that you make. There's a lot of folks out there that's had the first part, but they've never had the transformation and they've never been born again. But I want you to look at where they were called from. Look in verse 13. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. The sea, the death, and Hades. Death is just your body disintegrating. It's just going away. It's going back to dust from which it came. And a lot of people they'll get confused right here, and they'll say, well, Rodney, why is God pulling people out of Hades if they're already in hell? Then he's going to send them to hell. But you've got to understand this. Hades and hell are not the same place. Hades is a holding place. It's a holding place. Now, your future has already been determined. That doesn't mean you're going to get a second chance. But Hades and hell are different. And the best way that I can explain this is if you committed a violent crime and you have been denied any type of bail. So what happens? You are taken to the county jail to be held there, right? You've already committed the crime. Now you're being held. And now when your court date comes up, you're going before the judge. And when the verdict comes in, then you're leaving that jail and you're going to prison. That's what Hades is. Hades is the jail. And the lake of fire is the prison. You've got to wait until the final judgment. Why do you say that? It says, because the books were open and everybody was judged according to what they'd done. The final judgment's not up yet until this right here. See, there's people that's had an influence on other people that are dead. They're long and gone. And when I was preparing this, you know, the first thought that came into my mind was Hugh Hefner. And you're going to think, well, Rodney, where'd that come from? Because Hugh Hefner is the publisher of Playboy magazine. He's been dead for I don't know how many years. But yet, that magazine continues to be published and published and published. You see, if you have an influence on somebody that is evil and they're carrying that out, you're responsible for that until the final judgment. Each person was judged according to what he had done. When all the facts are in, that is when the final judgment will be. So we've seen the setting and we've seen the summons. We've seen what this courtroom looks like. We've seen who has been summoned to appear before that. But now I want you to see the secrets. The secrets that are displayed. Look again in verse 12. And it says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Did you know God is keeping books? It says right there, the books were opened. All the things that the secret things in all of our life, and every one of us has some secret things that nobody even knows about. He knows about it. And they're being recorded. They're being recorded. Because he says the books are open. Can I give you some verses maybe to put in your notes or in your margin? Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. Romans 2 and verse 16. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. Folks, we all have secrets. We all have secrets that nobody else knows anything about. But God knows them. God knows them. Someone asked another person, he was getting criticized really, really bad. And another person walked up to him and he said, how does it feel to be criticized? And the guy said, I'm just thankful that they don't know any more than they know. God knows it all, though, doesn't He? There is nothing. There is nothing that He doesn't know about each and every one of us. Even the secrets that we have repressed down, even the secrets that over a period of time that we have forgotten, God hasn't. God hasn't forgotten them, and He knows them. Matthew 12 and verse 36, it says, Jesus said this. He said, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have ever spoken." Every careless word that they have ever spoken. All the ones that take God's name in vain day in and day out. All the ones that put their hand on an oath and swear to do something and then do exactly opposite. And they say, I didn't mean anything by it. Well, folks, that's the sin of it right there. That's the sin of it. To think that little about Almighty God. Is that just as much as God means to you to do that? Oh, I didn't mean anything by it. Luke 12 and verses 22 and 23. Luke 12, verse 2 and 3. It says, "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. For what you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. And what you have whispered in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roof." Folks, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. There's going to be so many skeletons coming out of the closet, and God is going to hit play on that tape recorder. He's going to hit play. So we looked at the setting. We've looked at the summons. We've looked at the secrets. And now the last thing I want us to look at tonight, the sentence. Let's look at the sentence. Look at verses 13 through 15 again. "The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them." I mean, each person was judged according to what he had done. Verse 14, "Then death and Hades were thrown," "into the lake of fire." The lake of fire is the second death. Verse 15, "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Look at the assurance of this. Look at the assurance. It says they were judged. They were judged. You're going to stand there before Jesus, and you're not going to be able to bribe him, and you're not going to have a silver tongue lawyer standing there to speak for you. It's going to be assured. If you're with me, turn to Romans chapter 14. And this is a verse, I was preparing this Saturday morning, and Miss Cindy Bailey texted me, and I told her I was shaking. I was shaking when I was writing, because this verse ought to scare you, and it scared me, and it ought to scare the entire world. Chapter 14. Look at verse 11 and 12. "It is written." You remember that? What did Jesus say that to? The devil, when he was being tempted in the desert, didn't he? Three times. "It is written. It is written. It is written." Verse 11. "It is written. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." If that don't scare you, I don't know what does. I do not know what does. God swears by himself right there that he will judge. It says it plain as day. But not only the assurity of it, look at the severity of it. How is he going to be judged? "By their works. You are saved by grace but you're going to be judged by your works. I said this last week, right here. If you want mercy, you can have it. If you want grace, you can have it. If you want forgiveness, you can have it. But you have to have it now. When you stand before this throne, there's not going to be any mercy. There's not going to be any second chances. It's a done deal. Turn to Hebrews with me now. Chapter 10. Quite a few verses, but I have to put these in here so that you'll get to the extremity of what this message means. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 28. Hebrews 10. Now listen to this. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Watch this. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing for the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit, and my Spirit is a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit of grace. There's no second chances, folks. There's no second chances. When you draw your last breath, that is it. There's three things that happens in a courtroom. In every court, isn't there? There's three things. You present the evidence, and then you have a chance for your defense, and then the verdict is rendered, right? So, if you wanted to put this in a courtroom situation, what's the evidence? What's the evidence? Your deeds. Your deeds is the evidence. The books were open. Now, when it comes down to these books were open, remember what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount? He said, now listen, if you even look upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. He said, if you even hate your brother, that's the same as murder. And then what did James say? James said, listen, it's not just not doing sin. But James said, if you know the good that you ought to do and you don't do it, you've sinned. Every lie, every gray hair that you've given your mother, everything that we have ever done. Here is this big old mountain over here of sin. Here's the evidence. And here you are standing before Lord Jesus. So now it's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn to make your defense. What are you going to say? What are you going to do? You're going to say, Lord, there was just so many churches down there on earth. I just didn't know which one to go to. And Jesus is probably going to say, I didn't tell you to believe in a church. But Lord, listen, they were hypocrites there. And I am not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going there and being a hypocrite. And Jesus probably say, I didn't tell you to believe in hypocrites either. And Lord, I went one Sunday. And you know that preacher preached on judgment? He preached on judgment when I was there. I went there to get a feel-good sermon. I mean, he should have been preaching on love. And Jesus is probably going to say, I didn't tell you to believe in a preacher. Well, Lord, listen, I was planning on it. I was planning on it, but I had to get my life straight first. And Jesus is probably going to say, I didn't tell you to believe in yourself either. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? I'll tell you what Jesus is going to say. He's going to say, I told you while you were on earth to confess me before man. And I told you to repent of your sins. And I told you to be baptized. And I told you to live a faithful life from there after. But what's the verdict? You may have an angel standing over here that's writing down, and the angel looks at Jesus and what do I write down, Jesus? And Jesus says, you write down L-O-S-T. L-O-S-T. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. And the saddest words, folks, that anyone can ever hear would be, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Folks, right here, right now, in this moment, you have a chance and you have a choice to choose your destiny. Whether you're here in this congregation or whether you're watching live streaming on Facebook, right here, right now, you can choose your destiny. And your name can be written in this book of life. How does it get written there? Just like what we just said. You confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You repent of your sins. You do a 180. Whatever you were living your life for, it was for yourself, if it was for the world, it doesn't matter. Now you live your life for Christ. You're baptized. All of those old sins are washed away. And then you live a faithful life until God calls you home. That's the way that you get your name written in the book of life. If you're watching online and you maybe have something in this lesson has touched you, call the church building right now. Call the church building right now. If there's someone here tonight that has never been baptized and would like their name written in the book of life, I'm asking you to come right now as together we stand and as we sing.